July 15, 1946, Port Hueneme, California. 600 veterans sleep in line outside a Navy surplus depot. They have come home from a war that scattered them across Alaska, North Africa, the Pacific, and Europe. They have slept in the same curved steel shelters on every continent. Now they wait overnight to buy one. $230 for a basic hut, $288 with windows. By the end of the first day, 75% of the 811 Quonsets are claimed, a structure the military manufactured 153,000 times, a self-supporting steel arch that survived hurricane-force winds, required no specialized labor, and could be assembled by 10 men in a single day, is about to house a generation. Universities install them. Los Angeles builds an entire village. Nashville's Music Row is born inside one. 80 years later, thousands of those structures still stand. But try to build one as your primary residence today. Santa Cruz County, Arizona. Metal prefabricate buildings, Quonset huts, and butler-type buildings are prohibited for residential purposes. The village of Rothbury, Michigan. It shall be unlawful for any person to use as a dwelling any building commonly known as a Quonset hut. The physics has not changed. The steel has not weakened. Only the zoning codes have multiplied. This is not a story about a structure that failed. This is a story about a structure that succeeded without generating recurring revenue. Welcome to Off-Grid Secrets. The archive opens in April 1916 in a muddy trench near Ypres, Belgium. Major Peter Norman Nissen crouches in the chaos of the Western Front. American-born, Canadian-raised, trained as a mining engineer before joining the British Army's Royal Engineers, and now watching everything around him sink into Flanders mud. Dugouts collapse. Supply depots rot. The trenches themselves devour what men build. But Nissen remembers something, a roof that failed. Years earlier, at Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario, the drill shed roof had collapsed. Curved timber, overstressed, crashing inward. Most engineers would remember the failure. Nissen remembered the curve. He understood what it could have done if built correctly. They coded it out. They can't code out physics. Subscribe. The next archive opens soon. Now let's get back to the investigation. On April 16, 1916, he begins construction. 3 days later, three prototype semicircular huts rise from the Belgian mud. Corrugated iron sheets curve into place, bolted at pre-punch holes, the semicircle forming where trenches had swallowed everything else. Soldiers who had watched earthworks collapse watched the arch hold. By August, mass production is underway. Corporal Robert Donger produces the working drawings. Factories across Britain stamp out corrugated panels by the thousands. A Nissen hut can be assembled by six men in 4 hours. The record, 1 hour and 27 minutes. Six men, 4 hours, 100,000 shelters. By the end of the First World War, over 100,000 Nissen huts have deployed across the Allied forces. The curve that failed in Ontario had become the curve that held in Belgium. But the story doesn't end in the trenches. The archive reopens in March 1941 at Quonset Point, Rhode Island. The United States Navy approaches the George A. Fuller Company with an impossible request: design a prefabricated structure that can ship anywhere in the world and be assembled by untrained personnel. The deadline, 60 days. Otto Brandenburger leads the design team, the only licensed architect in the group. He has WPA experience and prior service as a U.S. Army sergeant. His son would later describe him as uniquely qualified to understand what soldiers actually need on a battlefield. Fuller builds the manufacturing plant in 30 days while the team designs the hut simultaneously. Robert McDonnell, Tomasino Secondino, Dominic Ugo, they work around the clock. Commander R.V. Myler of the Navy's Civil Engineer Corps names the building after its birthplace. Quonset, a Narragansett word meaning boundary. Within 4 years, the Navy manufactures 153,000 Quonset huts, plus 11,800 warehouse units. The standard model, the Quonset 20 Airs, measures 20 by 48 feet, houses 25 men in 86 different interior configurations, ships in 12 wooden crates weighing 7,000 pounds, and can be assembled by 10 unskilled laborers in a single day. No specialized skills, no complex tools, one size of bolt throughout. They ship everywhere. 20,000 huts to Alaska and the Aleutians. Guam hosts a 54,000 square foot warehouse nicknamed Multiple May West. On Tinian Island, a Quonset serves as the atomic bomb assembly building. North Africa, the Mediterranean, Greenland, Iceland, the same curve, the same bolts, the same survival in every climate the military could reach. Alaska, North Africa, the Pacific, Europe. The same physics held everywhere. When the war ends, veterans come home to a housing crisis, and they remember what had sheltered them. July 15, 1946, Port Hueneme, California. 600 veterans camp overnight in line. The Navy is selling surplus Quonsets, $230 for a basic hut, $288 with windows. By the end of the first day, 75% of the 811 huts have been claimed, $230. A home. In Los Angeles, 750 Quonset huts transform 112 acres in Griffith Park into Roger Young Village. 1,500 families move in, roughly 5,000 people, creating what historians would call the most diverse community in Southern California. The village helps end de facto segregation at nearby restaurants. Cost per unit delivered, $1,800. Universities scramble to house the GI Bill flood. The University of Iowa installs 25 Quonsets designed to last 5 years. They remain in use into the 1980s, some becoming home to the legendary Iowa Writers' Workshop. Northwestern builds Quonsets for 10,000 veterans. The University of Minnesota creates entire Quonset villages housed in 364 families. In Nashville, a surplus Quonset becomes Columbia Records Studio B, the cornerstone of Music Row. Owen Bradley discovers that the curved steel amplifies upper-middle frequencies in ways conventional walls cannot. Patsy Cline records there. Johnny Cash, Loretta Lynn, Conway Twitty. The curve that sheltered soldiers shapes the Nashville sound, designed for 5 years, standing for 50. Temporary is what they called permanent. The Muslim engineers had a phrase for it. The arch never sleeps, a structure in permanent compression, perpetually transferring load downward through its curve. From Sumerian ziggurats in 4000 BC to Roman barrel vaults to corrugated steel rising from Belgian mud, 6,000 years of the same physics. But the question the military never asked, because survival was the only metric and was why the curve works. That question was answered in wind tunnels decades later by researchers who discovered something that should have changed residential construction forever. In 2006, P.A. Blackmore and E. Socri at the Building Research Establishment in the United Kingdom published their findings in the Journal of Wind Engineering and Industrial Aerodynamics. Their parametric wind tunnel studies would become the most cited research on curved roof wind loading ever conducted. What they measured in controlled laboratory conditions confirmed what soldiers had witnessed in 1916. The curve doesn't fight the wind, it lets the wind go. Think about what happens when a storm hits your house. Wind slams into a flat wall and stops. Pressure builds against the surface. That pressure finds the weakest points, the soffit under the eave, the edge of the roof, the corner where two planes meet. Shingles lift, soffits tear. Once the envelope is breached, failure cascades. Your gable roof creates corners. Wind tunnels around those corners, accelerates, and rips at the edges. Research documented by Ho and Suri found peak pressure coefficients of 20 or more at gable roof corners, 20 times the baseline wind pressure concentrated at a single point. Now, picture the Quonset. No flat walls to catch the wind, no corners to accelerate it. Air flows over the curved shell like water over a stone in a river. Smoothly, continuously, without the pressure spikes that tear building apart. Blackmore and Socri found that curved designs reduce uplift forces by up to 30% compared to gable roofs. Not marginally better, categorically different. The second mechanism is Bernoulli's principle, and it works in the Quonset's favor. When air flows over a curved surface, it must travel a longer path than air flowing straight past. The air accelerates to cover the distance. Accelerating air drops in pressure. The Quonset doesn't resist the wind by being stronger. It makes the wind weaker by speeding it up. The third mechanism may be the most important. Your house has a wall-to-roof junction, a seam where two structural systems meet. That seam is where failure begins. Hurricane investigators document it over and over. The roof lifts at the junction and everything follows. The Quonset has no seam. Walls and roof are one continuous piece bolted directly to the foundation. Engineers call this a continuous load path. Forces transfer directly downward with nothing to pry apart. No weak junction, no failure point, no cascade. In 2007, a researcher named Taher, cooperating with CSTB, the Centre Scientifique et Technique du Bâtiment in France, conducted additional wind tunnel tests and concluded that aerodynamically designed homes would be far more efficient under high winds and hurricane conditions than a typical structure. Far more efficient. Not a little. Far. In August 2004, Hurricane Charley made landfall at Punta Gorda, Florida. Category 4, 150 miles per hour sustained winds. Total damage across its path, $15.4 billion. Scott Rambo lived in Punta Gorda. He owned a Quonset hut. The surrounding stick frame homes were annihilated, roofs torn completely off, walls collapsed, debris scattered across neighborhoods that had existed for generations. Rambo's steel arch, his words, our steelmaster made it through with flying colors. Our building made it through a Category 4 hurricane without even a wrinkle in the panels. Without even a wrinkle. 150 miles per hour, not a single repair. The cost comparison tells the rest of the story. A fully finished Quonset home costs $50 to $95 per square foot. A conventional stick frame home costs $150 to $250 or more. Over 30 years, the stick frame requires roof replacement, pest treatment, painting, rot repair, $30,000 to $80,000 in maintenance. The Quonset requires virtually nothing. Total lifetime cost for 1,500 square feet, $75,000 to $142,000 for the Quonset, $225,000 to $375,000 or more for the stick frame. Same square footage. One survived the storm, one becomes the insurance claim. If the physics is proven, if the cost is lower, if the durability is documented, then the question stops being about engineering. The question becomes, who decided you couldn't live in one? The answer is written into municipal code. As Santa Cruz County, Arizona states explicitly, metal prefabricated buildings, Quonset huts, and Butler-type buildings are prohibited for residential purposes. The village of Rothbury, Michigan passed Ordinance 17 on March 18, 1968. The language is direct. It shall be unlawful for any person to use as a dwelling any building commonly known as a Quonset hut. No engineering analysis, no performance review, no comparison to conventional construction, just unlawful. The state of Alaska, the same state that received 20,000 to 30,000 military Quonsets during the war, banned new Quonset hut erection years ago, citing the large number falling into disrepair. The structures that house soldiers in the harshest climate on the continent are now prohibited from housing civilians. Here's the critical detail. The International Residential Code and the International Building Code do not explicitly exclude Quonset huts. When properly engineered with stamped drawings from a licensed professional, these structures meet every technical requirement. The exclusion happens at the local level, through zoning classifications that label them agricultural or industrial, through aesthetic requirements that demand conventional roof profiles, through building officials unfamiliar with anything outside their normal workflow. A structure that exceeds code requirements is excluded by codes that never mention it. Homeowner associations finish what zoning starts. CC and RS requiring tile roofs, architectural conformity mandates, prohibitions on metal siding. One Quonset advocacy site summarized it bluntly. It's a sad fact that many people think they're too weird to be allowed. It's sadder still that these people can prevail through the law, and HO is to prevent you from building your dream Quonset hut home next door to them. Too weird to be allowed. That is the regulatory standard. The financial system builds a final wall, three barriers, each one designed for conventional construction, each one punishing alternatives. Barrier one, appraisal. Appraisers estimate value using comparable recent sales. For Quonset homes, comps barely exist. Fannie Mae requires that improvements conform to the neighborhood in terms of age, type, design, and materials. If there is market resistance to a non-conforming property, the appraiser must assess impact to value. The result, systematic undervaluation. Build a home for $75,000. Discover it appraises for $50,000. Barrier two, mortgage. One lender stated it plainly. You can't use a standard one-time close construction to perm loan for Quonset hut homes, pole barn homes, container homes, geodesic domes. The program exists to help build homes that are mainstream, not unique or special. Mainstream, their word. down payment requirements for non-traditional homes reach 30 to 40%. Conventional homes require 3 to 20%. In 2020, lender NewRez explicitly added barndominiums to its ineligible property list. Their rationale? Lenders have to think about what happens if they have to foreclose. They want to resell as quickly as possible. It's much easier and quicker to sell a home that appeals to the majority of buyers. Structural superiority is a lending risk. Barrier 3, insurance. Quonset huts are classified as non-standard construction, 15 to 25% higher premiums despite being objectively more resistant to fire, wind, hail, termites, and mold. One insurance professional explained it on an industry forum. The company I work for finds these homes ineligible due to the inability of determining a proper reconstruction cost. Estimators aren't designed for that type. The insurance services office classifies steel buildings as class 3, non-combustible. Wood frame is class 1, most fire prone. Standard metal buildings are actually up to 30% cheaper to insure. But the Quonset's unusual shape defeats the estimating software. Administrative inconvenience overrides material advantage. A structure that resists every major cause of insurance claims costs more to insure than one that doesn't. Follow the money. U.S. private residential construction, $905 billion per year. Homeowners insurance, $169.6 billion in direct premiums written in 2024 alone. The first year, the total property and casualty industry exceeded $1 trillion. The National Association of Home Builders spent $3.45 million on lobbying in 2024 and contributed $3.32 million to campaigns. They held over 140 in-district meetings with lawmakers in a single cycle on lumber prices alone. The American Wood Council represents 86% of the structural wood products industry, 450,000 jobs. Their stated mission, to maintain and expand market opportunities for wood in building codes. Their words, expand market opportunities in building codes. The Softwood Lumber Board, an industry-funded checkoff program, claims $45 in additional revenue for every dollar it invests in promotion. One board member stated publicly, "We need to supercharge the SLB's efforts, ensuring we can collaborate to improve building codes and get more architects and developers excited to build with wood. Collaborate to improve building codes. Wood industry language for writing the rules." They write zoning codes that classify steel arch structures as agricultural, even when those structures exceed residential safety standards. They staff building code committees with representatives from the industries that sell the alternatives. They have built an appraisal system that cannot value what it has never seen. They have created a mortgage infrastructure designed for mainstream homes that treats durability as a risk. They have constructed an insurance apparatus that charges more for fire-resistant steel than fire-prone wood. They spend $3.45 million per year lobbying to advance wood in codes and call it competition. A structure you can build for $50,000 does not generate a $300,000 mortgage. A home that needs no roof replacement does not generate maintenance contracts. A building that survives hurricanes does not generate insurance claims. The economics of the Quonset hut are the economics of independence. Independence is not a revenue model, but there is a countercurrent. Executive Order 14,394-R, signed March 13, 2026, directs HUD to develop best practices for removing regulatory barriers to affordable home construction. It explicitly notes that regulations add more than $90,000 to the final price of a new single-family home. The Mercatus Center identifies restrictive local zoning as the fundamental cause of America's housing shortage. The codes have not stopped everyone. Across rural America, in counties without zoning, in unincorporated land beyond HOA reach, builders are proving what the military proved 80 years ago. Earl Parsons spent 20 years as an award-winning architect in Los Angeles, building custom homes for clients who could afford them. In 2016, he purchased 10 acres in northern Arizona and started building something different. The Quompound, four Quonset huts serving as home, guest house, workshop, and garage, each approximately 25 by 28 feet. Parsons now runs Clever Moderns, sells professional construction plans, and operates the DIY Quonset Dwellers Facebook group with over 6,000 members. He calls himself Quonset House Architect, Blogger, and YouTuber. He left the conventional industry to teach people how to build outside it. In rural Pennsylvania, a family documented by Mother Earth News built a complete 40 by 40 foot Quonset home for under $35,000 total. A three-man hired crew worked 2 weeks, 240 labor hours to erect the shell. Amish contractors built the south end wall at two-thirds conventional cost. $35,000, 1,600 square feet, standing. In northern Wisconsin, Kristen Grant lives with her family in a Quonset hut on a farm called Wild Groves Farmstead. They raise Nigerian dwarf goats. She runs a soap business. She published a five-year retrospective in Mother Earth News. Her family and friends raised all 20 arches in approximately 10 hours. Her primary motivator, tornado resistance. She grew up in Kansas. She knows what wind does to conventional homes. Her honest assessment after 5 years of living in a steel arch, can barely hear each other talking 5 feet away in a hard rainstorm. The rain noise is the price. The tornado survival is the trade. Kristen Grant made the choice most Americans are never offered. The pattern of success is clear. Northern Arizona, no aesthetic requirements, no HOA. Central Texas, Hudspeth, Presidio, Brewster, and Culberson counties can opt out of codes. Rural Missouri, Shannon, Ozark, and Douglas counties have no zoning. Cochise County, Arizona allows owner builders to construct with no inspections except a final visit. Park County, Colorado has officially no building codes in unincorporated areas. Andrew County, Missouri has explicitly no zoning ordinances in the county. Rural, unincorporated. Outside the systems that profit from the alternative. In Canada, Quonset-style steel arch buildings are most prevalent in rural Alberta and Saskatchewan. Suppliers include Future Buildings, Metal Pro Buildings, Quonset Canada. All must comply with CSAA 660 certification. A turnkey 1,200 square foot Quonset home costs $60,000 to $114,000 Canadian dollars. In remote northern regions where conventional construction is logistically impossible, Quonsets are the practical default. Same structure, same physics, different regulatory environment. Canada permits what American cities prohibit. The pattern repeats. Michael Reynolds lost his architecture license for 17 years. His crime, building earthships, passive solar homes constructed from Earthram automobile tires, aluminum cans, and glass bottles. They heat and cool themselves. They collect rainwater. They grow food indoors. New Mexico stripped his license in 1990. He spent 17 years fighting, building three communities near Taos, totaling 45 homes while technically prohibited from practicing architecture. His license was reinstated in 2007, the same year New Mexico passed the Sustainable Development Testing Site Act, legislation Reynolds himself had spearheaded. His assessment, I spend 75% of my money and time fighting to build sustainable housing and only 25% doing it. Buckminster Fuller received U.S. Patent 2682235A for the geodesic dome in 1954. The American Institute of Architects called it the strongest, lightest, most efficient means of enclosing space. Why did it fail to reach mainstream adoption? Fuller's own diagnosis. Building codes were created for structures that contain 90-degree angles. The International Code Council voted 97% to incorporate shipping containers into the 2021 International Building Code. Portland still prohibits container habitation outside industrial zones. Codes can change. Local adoption lags years behind. Tiny homes face minimum square footage requirements, 400 to 1,000 square feet mandated by zoning, 1,200 or more required by HOAs. The regulations serve no structural purpose. They exist to maintain property values and construction industry revenue. Earth tubes were coded out. Passive solar was appraised away. Geodesic domes were zoned into corners. Quonset huts were classified as agricultural. Building methods that eliminate bills are systematically excluded. They have written the codes. They have staffed the committees. They have built the appraisal infrastructure and the lending requirements and the insurance classifications. And still, the arch stands. They will not tell you that 153,000 Quonset huts housed American soldiers across two world wars, and thousands still stand 80 years later. They will not tell you that a Category 4 hurricane left Scott Rambo's steel arch without a wrinkle while surrounding stick frame homes were annihilated. They will not tell you that the American Wood Council explicitly works to advance wood in building codes, or that the Softwood Lumber Board claims $45 in revenue for every dollar it spends on promotion. They will not tell you that four people with a cordless drill can erect the shell of a hurricane-proof home in 48 hours for less than the down payment on a conventional mortgage. In 1946, 600 veterans camped overnight at Port Hueneme to claim surplus Quonsets for $230. Today, the median American home exceeds $400,000. Most of them won't survive the first serious storm. The physics has not changed. The steel has not weakened. Only the zoning codes have multiplied. The arch waits. It has waited for 6,000 years under Sumerian ziggurats, inside Roman aqueducts, across the battlefields of two world wars. It does not need your permission. It does not require your financing. It needs only a foundation, a few dozen bolts, and someone willing to build what the codes forgot to prohibit. A structure you cannot meter. A home you cannot upsell. Engineering that asks for no subscription, no service contract, no 30-year mortgage. The curve that never sleeps, waiting in a warehouse in Virginia, in a shipping container bound for rural Arizona, in the physics that industries cannot repeal. Every share builds what they tried to bury. Every comment maps another path around the zoning wall. Next week, the concrete dome that survived the atomic bomb, and why American building codes have never mentioned it. The archive opens in Hiroshima, 1945.